This is the September 2nd edition of Scholastic News for Grade 4. On the front cover, it says, "Should you say something? Bullying can be hard to avoid. When should you speak up, and when should you get help?" On the front cover, there is an image of two boys fighting in the background and a girl walking in the opposite direction with a worried face. This edition also includes information about monarch butterflies taking flight and remembering 9/11. Let's flip to our first story from the life skills section titled, "Should You Stand Up to Bullying?" Words to know. Excluding. Verb: purposely leaving someone out. Confronting. Verb: directly opposing or challenging someone. As you read, think about, why is it important to support a kid who is being bullied? At recess, a group of sixth graders is picking on the new kid in your class. You look around the schoolyard. Some kids are ignoring the situation. Others are filming it or taking pictures. What are you doing? Unfortunately, scenes like this one are not uncommon. In a recent study conducted by the U.S. Department of Education, more than 25% of middle school students reported that they had been bullied at school. Judy French works for PACER's National Bullying Prevention Center. The organization works to end bullying. She says it's important to try to help kids who are pushed around, left out, or gossiped about. "If it were happening to you, wouldn't you want someone to help?" French asks. Supporting someone who is being bullied isn't always easy, though. But even in difficult situations, there are things we can do to make things better, French says. Read on as French weighs in about how to handle two bullying situations. Show support. At lunchtime, your friends won't let Devin sit at your table, even though there's an empty seat. They make fun of his jacket and tell him he smells weird. Bullying can take many forms. Making fun of someone and excluding them can hurt just as much as physical bullying. Standing up to kids who bully others takes courage. But these kids are your friends. And since the situation doesn't seem dangerous, you should support Devin. One way to do that is to ask Devin to go sit at another table with you. That will let your friends know you think their behavior is wrong. More importantly, it will let Devin know that he has someone in his corner and is not alone. You can also tell your friends directly that what they are doing is wrong, but wait until after lunch. French says confronting them in front of everyone may make the situation worse or cause them to turn on you. Having that talk out of the public eye is always safer, she explains. Get help. Abby is the most popular student in school. As Maria walks by, Abby trips her. As Abby's friends laugh at Maria, other kids start filming, and Maria looks totally embarrassed. Standing up for kids who are bullied is the right thing to do, but it's not always safe. If someone is hurting another kid, find a trusted adult right away, French advises. In this case, that's the best way to support Maria. French points out that telling an adult isn't snitching, which is done just to get someone in trouble. When it comes to bullying, telling is protecting someone from getting hurt. Standing up to Abby on your own could put you in danger. She holds the power. Being in power doesn't always mean being big or strong. The person in power could be older than you, more popular, or have other kids with them who gang up on the target. Plus, by leaving to get help, you're taking away Abby's audience. Some kids who bully are encouraged by others laughing or posting photos or videos online. Just don't walk away assuming someone else is going to get help. On the top right corner of the page, it says, What is bullying? Bullying isn't accidental. It's done to purposely hurt someone. Bullying doesn't happen only once. It is usually repeated over a period of time. It's important to know that bullying and disagreeing are not the same thing. Disagreeing is when two people express their opinions and no one feels unsafe. Everyone disagrees sometimes. Let's turn the page to the life science section, titled, The Flight of Their Lives. Monarch butterflies take a long journey each year, but will they be able to make the trip for much longer? Words to know. Entomologist, noun, a scientist who studies insects. Ancestors, noun, plural, family members that lived long ago. As you read, think about, why has the number of monarch butterflies dropped? Each fall, an amazing scene plays out in the forests of central Mexico. Millions of monarch butterflies cover the trees in a sea of black and orange. The monarchs have flown hundreds of miles to reach their winter home. It is one of the planet's most epic migrations. But scientists estimate that, last winter, the number of monarchs in Mexico dropped nearly 60% from the year before. The drop is part of a trend that's seen the overall number of monarchs dip over the past 30 years. Experts are concerned that monarchs may one day disappear. For almost any population of living organisms, there is a point of no return, says entomologist Karen Oberhauser. Can we help save the monarchs before it's too late? A long journey. Monarchs are the only insects that migrate south for the winter. The butterflies spend the spring and summer in the northern U.S. and southern Canada. They can't fly in the cold, so they begin to take off for warmer weather in late summer. Some butterflies that head to Mexico travel about 3,000 miles to get there. It will be the butterflies' first and only trip to Mexico. After spending months huddled together on trees, this group of monarchs will begin to migrate north next spring. But they won't make it all the way back. Their offspring and the generations that follow will complete the trip. The new generation will make the journey to Mexico next fall. Even though they've never been there, they'll land on the same trees their ancestors did. How? That's a mystery scientists are still figuring out. Troubled times. But this migration may not happen for much longer. In 1996, more than 360 million monarchs spent the winter in Mexico. Last year, that number dropped to about 18 million. One reason is the loss of habitat along their migration routes. To make way for homes and farmland, people have cut down many of the trees which monarchs live. But the biggest threat is the disappearance of a plant called milkweed. It is the only plant on which monarchs lay eggs. And monarch caterpillars eat only milkweed leaves. Some farmers and homeowners spray herbicides to kill weeds. The chemicals have wiped out millions of acres of milkweed. Rising temperatures and droughts have also hurt the plant. Hope for the future. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is considering adding monarchs to the endangered species list. If this happens, monarch habitats would be protected by the government. For now, Wildlife groups are replanting trees and working to prevent habitats from being destroyed. They also encourage people who live along migration paths to plant milkweed. Everybody can help, says Oberhauser. A monarch habitat can be as small as someone's tiny garden in their backyard. By Mary Kay Carson and Nicole Taco. On the left side of the page, we have a map that says Monarch Migration. Between August and October, most monarchs in North America fly to Mexico, but some smaller groups go to Florida or the California coast. And there's a map of the United States with arrows pointing in the direction of the fall migration path, the spring migration path, and winter resting areas. There's also an image on the far left side of the page of monarch butterflies in a tree, with the caption, "Monarch butterflies gather on a tree in central Mexico." On the top right side of the page, there's an image of a monarch butterfly, and it says, "Butterfly bots. Scientists use tiny sensors to map the monarch's journey. The sensors weigh less than a few grains of rice and are attached to the bodies of some migrating monarchs. Data from the sensors helps researchers pinpoint areas along migration routes that need protection. Turning the page to the U.S. history section, titled Standing Tall. Words to know. Optimism. Noun. Confidence that things will turn out for the best. On November 3, 2014, the tallest skyscraper in the United States opened in New York City. For many Americans, the 104-story One World Trade Center is more than a skyscraper. It represents hope after one of the darkest days in our nation's history. The building is close to where the twin towers of the original World Trade Center once stood. On September 11, 2001, the towers were destroyed after terrorists flew two planes into them. Terrorists are people who use violence to spread fear or gain power. Later that morning, another plane hit the Pentagon, the U.S. military headquarters near Washington, D.C. A fourth plane crashed into a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Nearly 3,000 people were killed that day, now known as 9/11. That includes more than 400 firefighters and other first responders. It was the deadliest attack on American soil in history. Still, the country vowed to rebuild after the tragedy. A symbol of hope. Planning for a new building began soon after 9/11. A company called Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill came up with the design. Work began on One World Trade Center in 2006. It took more than 10,000 people about 8 years to build it. The skyscraper soars 1,776 feet high. That's a nod to the year America declared independence from Great Britain. 10 years after it opened, One World Trade Center remains a symbol of how New York City and the nation recovered after 9/11. It symbolizes hope and optimism, explains Frank Mahan. He's one of the architects who worked on One World Trade Center. Even when we got knocked down, we get back up and keep moving forward, by Alicia Green. On the bottom of the page, there is a skyline view of New York City with an arrow pointing to One World Trade Center and says, "One World Trade Center rises above the New York City skyline." To the right of this image, there is a separate image of the Twin Towers as they stood before the events of 9/11. Moving on to our next article from the Debate It section, titled Board Games or Video Games. Video games are more popular than ever. Last year alone, Americans spent more than $57 billion on them. Meanwhile, sales of board games have also been rising in recent years. Both are fun, but which is better? Fans of board games say there are many reasons that games like chess, Scrabble, and Monopoly have been around so long. For starters, you can enjoy the same board games for years. You don't need to buy updated versions or expensive new devices to play them on. Also, playing board games keeps kids from being glued to screens. Too much video game time can strain your eyes. But others say board games can't compare to video games. They point out that you can play video games alone or with other people, in person or online. Plus, gamers say technology is always improving, so video games keep getting better. Here's what two of our readers think. Board games. Jackson Riley, Connecticut. Playing board games is a great way to spend time with your family. My family has game nights on Fridays. We enjoy playing Monopoly and Sorry. It helps build relationships since everyone is in the same room. Talking to gamers online isn't the same. I like being able to touch game pieces and move them around the board. That's better than damaging your eyes by staring at a screen. Video games. Charlotte Xavier, New York. Most video games have a lot of different levels, so you can play them for longer. I like playing handheld games to help pass the time on trips. They don't take up a lot of space, and they don't have a lot of pieces that can fall out and get lost. Playing video games can connect you with people worldwide. I play online with my cousins, even though we don't live in the same house. Flipping to the back page, titled News Review, there are quiz questions about a monarch's life. Ask your parent or teacher to help you if needed. On the bottom half of the page, there are quiz questions about bullying and more questions about monarch butterflies. Ask your parent or teacher to help you if needed. That completes a September 2nd edition of Scholastic News for Grade 4. I'm Emily.